This podcast is sponsored by Monarch.
Lifesaver.
Game changer.
The best thing to ever happen to my finances.
The people have spoken. Monarch makes personal financing a breeze.
Monarch is an intuitive, powerful, collaborative finance app that can help you save, budget, and keep your financial life in shape.
With Monarch, I can see my account balances, transactions, and investments in one place, so I always know what's going on with my money.
Whether you're saving for your first home, thinking about starting a family, your own business, or planning for retirement, Monarch is here for you every step of the way.
Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Monarch and manage your finances more effectively. See what thousands of people are saying about Monarch, the app Wall Street Journal voted the best budgeting app of 2024. Collaborate with your partner or financial advisor at no additional cost. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
Have you not seen that?
Hello there, and welcome to Fan Critical. How the f*** have you not seen that? Or as the kids are calling it, Hitifininst.
If only. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
This is our special podcast series where we've dug into our individual closets of shame and revealed the movies that we have all pretended to have seen for years. Ones that we have absolutely no right being on a TV and film podcast having not seen. So we started this particular series with my own shameful admission that I hadn't seen RoboCop. One of my fellow presenters today is Len. We moved on to yours last time, didn't we, Len? What was that?
We did my secret shame of not seeing Reservoir Dogs, which was and this did pick up a bit of traction on our social channels. People were a bit amused and befuddled by my lack of seeing Reservoir Dogs. So
befuddled and amused,
befuddled and amused. Bemused.
What a bozo! Yes. There was quite a lot of people calling you a bozo, weren't they? On the
bozo,
on the internet,
dickhead, yeah. Yeah, yeah, used to
it's
it.
Trending as well.
Bozo.
Yeah. Slime trending ball.
Hey, slime ball. And that, of course, is the voice of our victim of shame.
Victim of
for
shame?
For this episode, it's okay. John. Hello, John.
Hello. Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I like being a victim of shame.
Well, he's usually the one causing shame, is John. Mm. So for him to be the victim for a change is an interesting turn of events.
It is. I don't think it's a well-known phrase, being a victim of shame.
No.
I like it.
But I said it and we're using it. So,
hello, is that the police?
Today's
is
victim.
That the police? Yeah, I've been a victim of shame. Can you come round, please? Get away, you stupid man.
All right, John, time to come out of the closet.
Yep.
Tell us what you found in there.
So,
bear it all, John, bear it all.
Yeah, not safe for work. All right, so obviously when we were going through all the films on that day, I was laughing at the fact that, in fact, I wasn't laughing, I was fuming that Len hadn't seen Reservoir Dogs. And as soon as we...
Yeah, angry laughter.
Yeah. he's actually in this film that I watched. So we're scrolling down and immediately it comes up and I'm like, oh yeah, I've never seen this film. And I knew immediately that you and Len had probably seen it 10 times and had like pajamas, you know, Studio Ghibli pajamas, pants, popcorn, shaped like characters from Studio Ghibli. Or Ghibli.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah,
little
it would
Totoros
be.
Totoros and everything.
Yeah. And actually, if you subscribe on Patreon, we will send you some free Studio Ghibli stuff, yeah?
No. Not happening.
We could do that for ourselves.
Could do.
Well, actually, it's funny you mentioned that. I am drinking my beer from a Porco Rosso glass.
Which is not the
very
film.
Proud of this glass.
People tuning out now.
No.
Ah, what?
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, the film is Spirited Away. And I'll be honest.
The big one.
Yeah, I mean...
No, hold on. Don't tell me your thoughts on the film at this point.
Yeah, all right.
Is that what you're about to do?
No. I was just going to say, like, no. I don't really feel that ashamed to have not seen this. I've got to be honest.
Okay. I think that what you should feel ashamed about is... No, we're not talking about that. Represents more than just Spirited Away. This represents more than just Spirited Away.
Intervention.
It represents the fact that you haven't seen any Ghibli.
Yeah.
That is
mental.
Poor.
And the thing that amuses me and befuddles me, Gareth, befuddled again, is the fact that that is the Disney of Asia. You know what I mean? This is the way I see Ghibli. It's their Disney, right? And it just strikes me as crazy the fact that you haven't seen it, John. Not one of them. Not one Ghibli film. Not one.
Yeah. All right. I mean,
as Len says, it is the Disney of Asia. Mm. And Asia's a big place.
Yeah.
Lots of people.
Asian Disney. Mm. And I'm not talking about the one in Japan. I'm not talking about Disneyland. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're making a Ghibli world. They're actually making a Ghibli world, Gareth. And we're going to go and we're going to immerse ourselves in Ghibli world. And we should let's take John and let's do like a video blog. Because I had this idea, Gaz, and we were talking about it last week.
Oh my God, John's face throughout the whole thing.
I had this idea and I talked about it last week on the Reservoir Dogs one. Like, John, I knew when you watched this film that there is all of Ghibli is so fucking weird. The creatures, just the design is amazing. And I love that. And I know Gaz loves that. But I know that you'd be looking at it the whole time going, what the hell is going on here? What is that thing?
Yes.
So I think this is the spin-off. This is going to be the birth of the spin-off show Ghibli John, which is going to, track John watching different Ghibli films and then reacting to it. So a live video of him walking around Ghibli world with like giant... radish spirits and stuff coming up to him.
Let's not talk about
mascots.
Him yet.
A cracker. You know what I mean?
I tell you what, I've got this image, right? Imagine like you and me on a roller coaster, a Ghibli themed roller coaster.
Yeah.
Sitting there like going, yeah, woo, with like a massive sort of St. Bernard dog sitting next to us, just looking grumpy.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm. That's what it would be like if we took John to Ghibli one. Mm.
It's going to be the best trip ever.
He would be the St. Bernard.
I can't wait. All right, start saving now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't dribble that much, but fucking hell, like.
All right. So, just to clarify, we are talking today about the 2001 Miyazaki classic Spirited Away. This is probably the big one in terms of Ghibli's exposure to the Western world, or the Western world's exposure to Ghibli, I should probably say. Mm. Len, why don't you tell me what your experiences with Spirited Away, or Ghibli in general, are, and why don't you give us a blueberry rating for this movie?
Oh, lovely. So the blueberry scale, just for anyone who doesn't know the way we do things, it's very simple. 0 to 5, no halves, very harsh but fair scale. So Ghibli, I came to Ghibli quite late, actually. I'd probably say I was at university when I first saw Spirited Away, which is like 5 or 6 years after the film came out, like 5 years after the film came out. And I remember just being completely blown away by how bizarre it was and how I'd never seen anything like it. And that was before I'd started watching any anime, really. And that this actually was my gateway into anime in general, to be honest with you.
Hard drugs.
and hard drugs. No, joking. So, I mean, imagine watching this on drugs. You'd be all over the place. Do you know what I mean?
And you did, didn't you?
So, less said about that, the better. So, anyway, I from that point of watching Spirited Away, I went and found every Ghibli film that I could find and just sort of binge-watched them over the next few years. And rewatched them several times. I just love everything about them. I love the worlds. I love the sort of fairy tale elements to them. I love the even the voice acting. Like, and I know this is something that I don't actually usually do, which is watch like foreign films with dubbed voice acting. And I do that with the Ghibli films because they actually get A-list talent to do their voice acting. You know, you've got Christian Bale, you've got Liam Neeson,
and that's it.
All these other and that's it. No, there's loads more. And it just adds so much weight to it, actually, having some of these big hitters behind it. I love the film. This is a 5 blueberry film for me, just because it's so creative. It's so whimsical. And this is a weird thing. So everyone who's been listening to the podcast knows that I recently became the owner of a fur baby. And I say fur baby to annoy Gareth, because I know he hates it.
Well, it's not just him, mate.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't really call her that. She's a Great Dane puppy and she is amazing. But when we first got her, she could not sleep through the night. Like, she genuinely could not. She woke me up like 4 or 5 times in the night for weeks on end. And what we did some reading, and we were like, okay, what do we do? We put some relaxing music for her to go to sleep to. So we tried like Chopin, Beethoven, all that sort of stuff.
What the fuck is this? It's a dog, mate.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And then, do you know what did the trick?
Drugs.
Studio Ghibli, 7-hour mix, Spirited Away soundtrack, piano covers. So I have been listening to the soundtrack for Spirited Away every single night for the last 2.5 months. You know, low level in the background so that my little Billy girl can sleep. So this film holds a special place in my heart, Gareth. You know, am literally sleeping with it on in the background. So for me, it's 5 blueberries, and I can't wait to talk about all the crazy creatures with John.
I mean, fucking hell. John, you've got to remember, this is Len who showers with his dog. So
she needs to be cleaned once a week.
Right. Fair enough. Oh, thank you for that. A very, very detailed life story, but
it was annoying.
You definitely touched upon Spirited Away within that, but I share a lot of what you had to say. It was my first exposure to Ghibli personally as well. I loved it. I love the layers to the story. The imagination in it is just incredible, and the beauty of that movie is mind blowing. You could pause it at any point, print off whatever is on the screen and put it in a frame, and it would look amazing.
What about the stink spirit? Get that in there. All right.
Absolutely. The stink spirit. What a wonderful representation of the humans' pollution in our waterways. Mm. It's 100%. It's a 5 blueberry movie.
Yeah.
John, you're late to this party. Tell us what you thought.
I didn't want to go to the party, so, do you know what I mean? I've been forced to turn up.
Yeah.
So it's not like...
Dragged along.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, you know, at least I came.
Yeah.
You know, I showed my face, and I'll leave as soon as I can before the last train leaves. Look, it's a weird film, isn't it? It's so weird. Yep. I mean, I had a banging headache. I watched it last night. And I had a banging headache as I was watching it. And at the beginning, I was immediately like forgetting who people were. And I was like, right, I've got to do a quiz on this. And I'm gonna bomb out on this because, like,
you have to watch it again if you fail.
Even this morning, I went to Michelle. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna fuck this quiz. Like, all I can remember is the name of the main character, who is Chihiro, and she went, it's Chihiro, and I was like, so I don't even know that. So I can't even remember that. So I was like, right, so that's the zero for me. As I was watching it, I kind of was a bit bored at the beginning, because I was like, I was appreciating parts of the film that weren't the story. I was fascinated by the characters and the setting, but I didn't really care where the story was going, and I was a bit like, well, hold on, who's the bad guy in this? Is anyone a bad guy? Is that a good thing, because I'm just being lazy and I want the film to fall into tropes, and because it isn't, I'm confused, and now I'm not enjoying it. Mm. And as it went on and on, I was kind of like, yeah, do you know what? This isn't for me. This film isn't for me. but I can absolutely understand why everyone else loves it. And I can understand, you know, the five bloob scores and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm saying that as if like thousands of people have bloobed this movie. They haven't. hundreds of thousands. But,
well, in a way, I have seen people giving, I think they call it like 10 star ratings. And I've done a bit of research into this. I think it roughly converts to about 5 blueberries.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm not happy with that. To be honest, I'm not happy with a 10 star system either. 5 stars, surely. Fucking hell. Well, I'm going to give this 14 out of 17 stars. Why?
Because I need to keep 3 to feed my soot monsters.
Ooh, yeah. But look, the film ended, and I was like, "Yeah, do you know what? 4 bloobs, I give that."
Yay!
And then
that's a good score.
And then I woke up this morning, and I was thinking about. Right. Oh, hold on. And I was thinking about some of the characters, and then I started to think about some of the themes. And then I started laughing about the radish monster again because I was like, fucking hell.
Yep.
I even turned to Michelle and went, did they say radish? She went, yeah. I was like, okay. So why is he wearing those little pants? And I was like, do you know what?
Sexy little pants.
I was just fascinated. I was fascinated with the world building. And then I thought, do you know what? I've got to give this 5 bloobs. So I have to.
No way.
Yes.
So yeah.
I did
so
not
it's,
see that coming.
No, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a 5 bloobs from me. I think it's it has
lovely.
A charm. This film.
Yeah, it does.
That,
it does.
That really. I think it probably does grow over time. But yeah, look. Yeah. I'd be lying if I said I thoroughly enjoyed it. But
yeah.
I almost. It's kind of like
it sticks with you though, doesn't it?
It's kind of like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. In that when I saw that, it ended and I was like, nothing really happened.
Yeah,
and then
exactly,
once I thought about it, I was like, do you know what? There's too much about this film that I appreciate to not give it a 5 bloob, which I did at the time. And it's the same with this. I'd be fascinated to see. You know, more of this weird character driven stories. And look, you know, I'm sure we will.
Yeah.
But yeah. But that's enough from me. It's 5 bloobs and there you go. Now you're happy, Len. So
I'm very happy. You know, that blew me away. That is the most surprising thing that's happened for weeks for me. I was certain you were gonna come to this and go 3 bloobs. I was certain. I would have put money on it.
Halfway through, that was my score.
I think it takes a big man to watch something and go, I know this isn't for me, but I can still appreciate what it is for who it is for.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that man wasn't available for this pod. So I've turned up.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm really pleased to hear that. I think. You know, just we won't go through a scene by scene blow or anything, but just as a quick overview, a quick reminder for anybody who maybe hasn't seen the film in a little while. Basic story is a girl, Chihiro, or Chichiro, as some call
Chichiro,
her, and her parents are find themselves in a the land of the spirits and. Her parents very quickly manage to disgrace themselves and get turned into pigs.
Mom! Dad! Come on, quit eating! Let's get out of here!
Yeah, absolute swines. Absolute swines, the pair of them.
I mean, they are unbelievable. John, you've seen Lenny. Like this was like next level, even beyond Len.
Yeah, it was so rude, wasn't it?
There he is.
Oh, look, there's some food on the side here. Let's just eat it. I've got money anyway. I've got loads of credit cards, yeah? Loads of money and credit cards. It'll be fine. Oh, hold on. What are you doing?
When I watch this scene, I always imagine John being the kind of person that would do this. Like, you just see the food. Like, oh, fuck it. I need a fucking beer. Sometimes when you need a beer.
No, I mean, that is true. If it was beer, then I'd be like, well, look, there's no one here.
Exactly.
I'll just pay for
exactly.
it afterwards. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. I look around and John, a giant pig's there. And I'm like, oh, all right, John.
I like how the little arse is hanging out from the trousers as well.
Yeah. So that leaves Chihiro, the hero of the story.
Chihiro,
stranded, yeah. I suppose, in spirit world. And it's her mission is to basically survive the labours of the bathhouse that she finds herself in an attempt to get her parents changed back and be able to go home.
Yeah.
Well, to her new home. They're also moving house.
They're moving house, yeah. Chaos. Yeah. It's chaos.
Absolute chaos. I'll start this next section, our favourite scenes section, with a question. And that question is, what were your favourite scenes? Oh,
good question. I'll let John kick this one off because I'm interested to see what he says is what he thinks one of the best scenes of the film.
I mean, quite a lot of the no-face scenes I enjoyed.
Yay.
So, yeah. I mean, it's just something about... fuck off, mate. Fucking hell. Jesus Christ. So that was weird. You know, when they're crossing the bridge and Haku says to Chihiro, so look, just hold your breath.
Well done.
Yep. Says, hold your breath. Let's cross this bridge and that. Little annoying Gaz turns up. He's like, hey, how you doing? You all right?
Hey,
let's go. Just like, just get out of the way, mate.
Master Haku! Where have you been? What? A human?
Just get out of the fucking way.
Yeah.
I...
Listen, I'm the host of this one. I get to decide which spirit I am. But I did write down Gaz equals annoying frog on the bridge.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I'm with
you. So when he turned up, I was like, oh, this is good. I like this little guy. And then, there's so many weird things. I might go with, just because I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
I might go with, what's his face? Fucking Robotnik. Kamaji? Is that his name?
Kamaji. Yeah.
I might go with him because he's...
Dr. Kamaji.
Yeah, Dr. Robotnik Kamaji. Him and his little spider fellas.
Come on, get to work, you little rats! Yeah, I'm Kamaji, slave to the boiler that heats the baths. Move it, you stupid soot balls!
Oh, sorry.
So the sound at this point I find quite relaxing. Like,
yes.
You've got the coal thing going, and
go
it's like
sleep,
nothing's being
doggy,
said. You've just got
go
these little.
Sleep.
Just got these little fellas just carrying the coal and that. Just throw it in there.
Yeah.
And there's loads of them as well. I'm like, this is fascinating.
Makoro Kurosake is their name, Sootballs. Makoro Kurosake.
For something that is almost spider-like, they are very cute, because I'm terrified of spiders, but little soot creatures, very cute.
And they make an adorable noise, like... Very cute.
Yep, slightly more adorable than that, but...
A little bit annoying, though, aren't they? Because, you know, as soon as they find out that Chihiro can do a little bit of work for them, they'll start,
hello.
Can you put that in there for me, please? No. Come on.
They're so good.
Yeah. Cheeky.
I love that. I love that. Len, any favourite scenes?
I'll tell you what. There's two scenes that really stand out to me in this film. And I
Just one will do.
Well, I'll give you two. They're quite scary.
Give me one, and then if we need another one afterwards.
Okay, all right. The first one is the first time you see one of... My first one is when you see arguably the most terrifying Ghibli character of all time, the giant baby.
If you go, I'll cry, and Mama will hear me, and Mama will come in here and kill you. Play with me or I'll break your arm. That
hurts! Now... The giant baby for me, Bo, is honestly terrifying. Terrifying. Like, every time I watch this film, I'm like, this actually is scaring me. Like, he's got this room, he's got loads of toys, he's got giant pillows everywhere.
There's something about that room as well.
Oh, it's terrifying. I don't know what's wrong with
terrifying.
It. And then you've got the little green head going... So the giant baby... the giant baby terrifies me, and for me, you know, it's Yubaba, isn't it? Yubaba, and her whole sort of weird entourage just freaks me out, to be honest with you. And I love the scenes where you see Bo and the green headed guys and Yubaba. But I was going to say one of the scenes for me is No Face. When he has become gluttonous with greed, and he's terrifying again. Mm. This is also terrifying. He's like this giant gluttonous blob sitting in the bathhouse, eating everybody and eating like everything that's given to him. And he says, "Bring me Sen, bring me Sen." And it's terrifying, man.
Try this. It's delicious. Want some gold? I'm not giving it to anybody else.
Like, I hate that. I mean, I love that scene, but I hate it anyway. And then he starts chasing her through the hallways and stuff. It's crazy. It's crazy stuff. But I love that because No Face is actually a lovely guy. And it's just that he's corrupted by the wealth and the gluttony and all that sort of stuff. So, I love that scene.
Well, we might talk a little bit about what he might represent in a bit. But I'm going to... No Face is amazing. He's a highlight of this movie, but I love it. I love the start. you know when Chihiro decides to leave her parents to it. They're being pigs. Yeah. Not literally at this point. Yeah. And she's like, "Oh God, we shouldn't be here. I'm just going to walk over here for a bit." And then she bumps into Haku, who's like, "Get out of here!"
Yeah.
And then it starts going dark. And then the music kicks in and it's amazing. And all these little like shadow spirits begin appearing. And then she runs to find her parents who have turned into pigs. And her dad gets like slapped by that. He's hilarious. Yeah. Oh, so good. That bit is so intense. It's... I love it.
And the music in this.
So that's mine.
And the music in this is so important because I know I said I use it to relax to, and I do. I genuinely love this soundtrack. It's unbelievable. But what I will say about it as well is it soars. I don't know something about this soundtrack. Me and Gaz were driving through New Zealand and we had some of these tracks on when we were driving
talking
through.
About this again. Fuck it.
Yeah, hell. I mean. We love doing this. We love playing music when we're going through cool like landscapes and stuff. But it genuinely moves me in a way that some soundtracks have never moved me before. Like, and I love movie soundtracks. There's a certain few that just really get to me, and this one really strikes a chord like in my soul. I absolutely love it. It's beautiful. Skidder. Yeah, so yeah. I think that...
I'm glad you said that, actually. I read a quote, and I was doing a little bit of additional research. Disney movies touch the heart. Ghibli films touch the soul.
Yeah, I can actually... I've never heard that, but I'll tell you something.
And John McCann touches You only after seeking appropriate permission.
Yeah. Now I can see that because no, I can see that because
You've gone too far now. Yeah, he doesn't do that, does he?
No, I genuinely do think that there is some credence to that quote. Some Disney films are beautiful. Beautiful. I love a Disney Sunday afternoon sometimes is exactly what you need. You know, stick on Lion King and have a bloody great time. But there's something about these films that just get the lads around. Pop the Pringles, get the Pringles and have a go. But there's something about these films. Like
bring around a stubby and we'll watch Lion King again. Fucking hell.
But there's something about
sorry, I've only got Lion King 3.
But there's something about
these films. That doesn't even touch the heart.
But like John said, there's something about these films that just burrows into your psyche a little bit and makes you question. Well, did you not say you woke up thinking about this film?
Correct.
So it burrowed into your psyche because we all know that once you've seen something, you sack it on. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. Moving on. I will just put in a special mention for the scene when Chihiro helps out the stink spirit.
Amazing
scene.
That's
amazing. And then afterwards, cool. He's like, "Well done." It's so weird. Well done. So weird.
Well done.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, I love it though.
Thank it's you. A well done, small girl.
Like, no. Fucking hell, I fucked up here. He's a big monster.
Well, actually, while we're on the subject of the stink spirit, anybody got any favourite spirits?
Yeah. So, obviously, we've talked about the radish spirit, and I inquire anyone who Jim. Hasn't or doesn't remember...
Yeah, I'm not talking whiskey.
...doesn't remember the radish spirit, go Google the radish spirit now, and that is, like, John's favourite creature, it seems. He loves him. Dirty John.
Just bizarre. I mean... He is funny. I'll give him that. And there's a bit where right at the end, he's going mental and he's like, yay, wearing like an ill-fitting robe. He sort of reminds me a little bit of like, the bit in the lift where he's standing there, like his little pants on and he's taking up all the space in the lift and you got Chihiro. She's in in the corner, squashed in. And he gives her a little look and she looks away. I'm just like, this is creepy as, man. Like, it was a bit like, what is he supposed to be? What is he representing, this weird radish thing? Mm. He wasn't representing anything. He's just a funny slob of a character.
Just a funny image.
Mm.
Just a funny image.
He's good. I love, like, they're kind of seen fleetingly, but I love those big ducks with the little lily hat.
they're funny as well, yeah.
The Otori Sama, Gareth. The Otori Sama. Yeah. Yeah, they are cool.
And they make other appearances, I'm sure, but they're just cool. Obviously, No Face we've spoken about. He's fucking weird. Like... This is the thing.
No.
But here's the thing. Here's the question for you. What does he want? What does he want?
Friendship, companionship. He wants friendship and companionship, and that's what I believe he gets at the end of this film. Like, you know what I mean? And Sen is the only person who pays him attention. Sen being her bathhouse name, is the only person who pays him attention, and he showers her with literal gold for that. So it's sweet when you realise that he isn't a crazed lunatic, and it was just all the sort of greed.
He's a little bit though, isn't he?
I think he is still a bit of a crazed lunatic because you've got to remember he is eating people, and
he gives them back. He gives them back.
He goes a bit mental when...
Where is Sen? Bring me Sen!
When, When she feeds him and he starts throwing up everything, he's like, why? What have you done to me? And then he starts chasing her around everywhere. That is mental. He suddenly gets over that when they get on the train, which is lovely.
He's back to himself, I mean, then.
Oh, he's very quiet after that, isn't he? He's very embarrassed. He's
he's extremely embarrassed. He's extremely embarrassed.
He's got like that. Yeah. He's got like that beer fear the next day where you just wake up at home. You're like, have I got home? He's very, very sheepish. I did what?
But you know, this is something that John, something that you touched upon earlier, John, and that is that generally the character motivations can be kind of hard to read. There's not really a bad guy. Even your Baba, she's a businesswoman. Well, she is pretty evil, but she's just trying to run a business, isn't she? She's not trying to ruin anybody's life, really. She's just trying to make money.
She's not going out of her way to ruin anyone's life. Like, everything that happens to her happens at that bathhouse. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's Sen and her parents' fault for being there. They shouldn't be there. Do you know what I mean?
They don't know, do they? Like, she'd have come out of the bathhouse and gone, look, you know, you're not allowed to be here. It's private property. Then fine.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't get fair warning, but they did just gorge. So,
you know.
Well, I mean, they did just guzzle down all of the
exactly.
chicken and fucking pork buns they could.
And when you compare your Baba to Zaniba, like, obviously, Zaniba being the twin sister who is, you know, lovely and welcomes her into the little cottage and, you know, it's just very sweet. Looks after No Face and all that sort of stuff. It makes you Baba
it's
look terrible.
It's just the same person, isn't it? It's just the same person, surely.
They're called twins.
I mean, they're never on screen at the same time. Like, I'm just saying. Is that possible? Has that been explored? That they're just the same person?
That is true.
I don't know. Write to Miyazaki and ask him.
Yeah, it could be two sides of the same coin.
Wow.
Well, Miyazaki himself actually says that when he writes films or wrote films, they start making the film before he's finished writing them because that's how he likes
classic.
That's how he likes to work.
Yeah.
And you get that sense.
I think 100%.
Once you hear that, it's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, because this movie
is
like, just there's a lot of just kind of little just scenes that occur, individual chapters.
Yeah. You know, there's mental things in this film, like, how is Bo Yubaba's baby? I don't understand. And why is he so big?
Don't understand. Why not? How is she having a baby?
That's what
she's,
I mean.
She's like 104.
You've got to imagine her having intercourse and then something birthing a baby that big. Mental.
I reckon that Kamaji is the father. He's wandering hands.
He has got wandering hands, yeah.
I reckon it's the three heads. I reckon the three heads are all the father.
Yeah. Oh, who's the father? The third one.
All right, and I thought before we get to our quiz to test John to see whether he actually watched this movie or whether he's just trying to please us.
Can't wait.
I thought I'd set us up with a little bit of a discussion, a little bit of a debate. What does it all mean? And this is a hotly contested question, actually, out there on the. On the internet, is it about Japanese consumerism versus traditional values? Is it an allegory for child prostitution? Is it pro-immigration propaganda, or is it all just a bit mental? What do you think, gents?
Now go on, you go, Len.
It's a tough one. I've probably seen this film. I watched it quite a few times recently. Obviously, for this, I watched it with you drunk a couple of weeks ago, Gaff, and I watched it actually about a month or two before that. So I've watched it quite a lot recently. And to be honest with you, none of that really occurred to me at all when I watched this film. The biggest thing that occurred to me is like the themes of greed, maybe consumerism, but I didn't pick up on any of the sort of traditional Japanese versus contemporary Japanese. I didn't pick up on any of that at all. I would say for me it was pollution and greed were the two things that sort of came into my mind when I watched this film.
Yeah, I mean, look, maybe it's because I've watched this film you know, I'm a little bit older, and I've probably overanalyzed this film. I'm probably looking for themes, but absolutely, I mean, you get the parents that are. I mean, the dad is going on and on about, oh yeah, I've got loads of cash and credit cards. It'll be fine. I'll just do whatever I want. Yep. And he gorges himself. I'm thinking, oh, he's so greedy, isn't he? Like, and then later on, you get like the bike and all the fucking junk that's been thrown in. They take out of the fucking stink monster, and it's all about, you know, this consumerism thing about. So I was watching it and I was like, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Even the way that the spirits are dressed versus the parents, who look very kind of Western, I guess. Like, everyone else seems very, I mean...
traditional, yeah.
Yeah, which you would expect spirits to be. If one of them was sitting there with fucking Nike trainers, I'd be like, well, that's killed it a little bit.
cool
so,
spirit,
then. So I got that. When the bathhouse first came up... This might just be me, but immediately I was just like, oh, this is a bit dodgy, isn't it? A bit sexual, isn't it? And that might just be me. But I don't that's necessarily so think that... Yeah. I don't think it's about child exploitation. I think it is just the exploitation of like, class. Like, obviously, I mean, fucking hell. Like, how can you not see... fucking you, Barber, as like a madam of a brothel.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, it of is, course. Isn't it? But I,
that's
but
a classic character. That,
she's got wings and stuff. She turns into a bird. That's what they do.
Yeah, classic
fact. But you've got all like these rich clientele that they're sucking up to, and you can come in, and it's like, yeah, come in here, do whatever you want. You know, take the fucking piss, eat the staff if you want. Well, as long as you've got the money, you do whatever you want. And that does happen in brothels. Yeah. So,
oh,
you know, I definitely saw that. But I would say that's probably because I was sitting there watching this film, looking for it, rather than if I just watched it. If I watched it, you know, as a teenager or a young adult and just took it as just an animated movie, I probably wouldn't. And then I watched it again and again and again. I probably wouldn't be looking for that, but I think they're fairly on the nose, particularly that bit where he's banging on about the credit cards and stuff. Because I'm sitting there like, this is a kid's
film. Element.
Why does that matter?
But the greed element's there with the parents and No Face, so you got that two times in the film.
Well, it is. I mean that. Yeah, greed is a big one, but the big one on the internet is this. Child prostitution thing, or the bathhouse is a brothel. All of the spirits that come, all of the guests are male for a start. You've got.
Why are you trying to ruin this film for me?
Young female workers.
Why are you trying to ruin this film for me?
There's a lot of hey.
God.
But
I've got loads of gold. I've got gold. Got loads of gold. I don't want it. I don't want any of that. Piss off. Right?
The I think the other big thing is, you know, you've got an outsider coming into this bathhouse that they don't want to start with. They're like, oh God, a human. We don't want them here. We're spirits. We only want spirits in this place. She comes in, works really hard, does a good job, and eventually sort of becomes friends with all of the other spirits. So maybe that is a sign for Japan with its extremely low immigration rates. It's a bit of a message.
Maybe.
Welcome outsiders.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our hotly awaited quiz.
Ooh.
Shall we? Mm-hmm. Now, the rules for this quiz will be, John, I'm going to ask you 6 questions. If you do not get 3, you do not get the stamp, the sticker of approval.
Correct.
To say you have now watched it. Yeah.
Well,
it will be.
We'll watch
we'll
it again.
Keep saying, we'll keep saying, how the fuck have you not watched that?
Yeah.
If you get this wrong.
Why the fuck do you keep watching that?
Can't get 3 on the quiz.
A new series.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm confident you will get 3 out of 6.
No, No. I don't need that pressure, mate.
I've got faith in you.
I'll mop up. I'll mop up if he doesn't get any.
No. All right. Let's do this. Can we get some quiz music, please, Len?
Running it now.
All right. Question number one. Beau, or also known as the Big Baby, is replaced at one point in the movie through magic and trickery by what? What is he replaced with?
A mouse.
I'm going to give you half a point, and then I'm going to add an extra question to this. No. Because there's probably a flaw in this question.
Okay. All right.
So I'll give you half for that, and then you've got an opportunity to get the other half of this point. Mm. However, your Baba thinks that Beau is still there. Who is there in Beau's place?
Yeah, the three heads, isn't it?
Excellent. Yay. Well done. Ding, ding, ding. All right, that's two half points there. That equals one.
One whole one point. Point.
One question, one point.
Yeah.
Done.
Excellent, that.
Well done.
Okay. When Chihiro and her family first arrive in the spirit world, what does Chihiro's dad think the spirit world is?
He thinks it's an abandoned theme park.
Ding, ding, ding,
yay.
Ding. Excellent work. Doing very well here. Towards the end of the movie, it is revealed that Chihiro has met Haku before.
Yeah.
Mm.
She reveals that she dropped a shoe into a river.
Yes.
What colour was that shoe?
fuck. This is a complete guess, to be honest. Pink.
Ding, 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 ding. You got it right. That's impressive, mate.
That is it's pink. Come on. Fucking hell.
Yeah, are you Googling this?
Nope.
No, I mean, fucking hell, that'd be a quick Google.
Are you answering,
surely.
Then?
No, he's it.
I'm not answering. I haven't said anything.
That's confusing.
No, that was really weird. Len, I said to John, are you Googling this?
Yeah.
And you, Len, replied, no.
Oh, I thought you said Len. Len, are you Googling this? I was like, no.
No.
I was like, I know the answer.
Mental. What is the final test Yubaba gives Chihiro?
She asks her to guess which of the pigs are her parents. And of course, none
Very
of the pigs
good.
Are her parents.
Excellent work. That is 4 out of 4. Are you heading towards a 100% record?
You make the questions, if you make the questions any easier,
difficult.
Gareth, then he will.
Let's see how he goes with this one, shall we? What is Haku's real name?
Fucking hell. It's the river, innit?
The river in it. Is that your final answer?
Oh, it's like fucking Koku or some shit. I don't know. Coco.
I'm afraid that is your first drop point,
yeah.
John. Unlucky. His name is Kohaku, river spirit.
Ah, oh, yeah, well, there. That's Koku, mate.
You said Koku. It's not Koku.
You said Coco.
Yeah, that's a
Pixar
movie.
Yeah, that's the same,
isn't
it?
That's a Pixar movie. Yeah. Sick of it.
That one touches your brain.
Yeah.
This one touches your soul.
Yeah.
This is the real quiz. Chihiro may have dropped a pink shoe when she was younger. What colour were her new shoes?
Yellow.
Very good.
Yep.
Yeah. Excellent.
That's 4 out of 5. And finally...
What's
Chihiro
going on
had
here?
A going away cut.
Yeah.
Chihiro had a...
No,
Chihiro
how many questions
had a going
are in
away
this?
Cut. This is question 6. Chihiro had a going away card with her. Who was it from?
Himeno.
Himeno.
Can't
that
believe
is not
you just
the
said
right
that
answer.
In Japanese, John. Do you know what that means? I can't believe you just said that.
Sorry to all of our Japanese listeners. It was from her friend Rumi.
Oh, right.
Rumi.
Rumi? Yeah. Oh, fuck off.
So,
rubbish name.
Congratulations, John. You scored 4 out of 6. Or
I'm pretty sure
there
was about 8 questions there. So about 6 out of 8.
What scoring system you're well done. That is highly respectable, and I will give you your stamp of approval. You have now seen Spirited Away.
Yay. It's a little victory music. All right, there. Just a little victory music.
Yeah. Do a little dance if you want.
Yeah. Celebrate good times. I'm here in like a little
Shabon
pants, like the radish. Like the radish fella.
Yeah, little radish pants. Very good.
Go away.
I suppose the only thing that we've got left to do is announce what our next How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That is.
Mm. Ooh. John's got the secret. John's got a little envelope over there. And within the envelope is some secret information. And within his hand is that envelope right now. And he's opening it.
Open it up.
Oh, yeah. Good noise.
It's good, isn't it? You reach inside the envelope. It's a very loud envelope, isn't it? Right, there you go. So I've taken out the invisible slip.
God, and it's going to be the Oscars all over again.
So it's Emma.
Moonlight.
Emma. It's Emma. This is Emma Phillips.
Who's not seen Emma? Who's not seen Emma?
Yeah. Oh. No one, I don't think. So it's Emma Phillips. And the movie that she hasn't seen is fucking Scarface. Like, how the fuck has she not seen that?
That is madness. Mental. That's worse than Reservoir Dogs, in a way.
Yeah, that's abysmal.
That is bad.
Well, that's going to be really fun because I actually love that film. And that'll be a good one. So look forward to that,
there you
guys.
Go. An invitation for everyone to watch Scarface again because everybody has seen it. So everyone can watch it again.
Yep.
Emma Phillips can watch it for the first time and she'll be with you next time to give her thoughts on that movie.
And I just want to say that we've had a very good response to this new series that we've begun.
Got any viewer feedback?
A little bit of feedback here and there. A lot of people have been getting in touch via John on the Twitter account. He's been sending through your lovely thoughts, so keep doing that. You can email us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com, just like our friend Eric Cope has done. And he says, "Hey gents, big fan of your work. Now that season 3 of Westworld is in the books, thank God, I feel I need a pick-me-up." And obviously he comes to How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That? I was hoping at least one of you have seen the movie IP Man on Netflix. It's a bit random, yes, and has subtitles, I know, but so does this one that we've just covered. So, you know, we like a subtitle
IP
movie.
Isn't it just Ip Man?
Yeah.
Fucking IP Man.
IP Man.
It's Ip Man.
IP Man. Intellectual.
I take intellectual property and beat people up with it.
Ridiculous.
Like a Korean martial arts film, isn't it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Internet Protocol Man.
he says the action in season 3 of Westworld was so bad that he had to go back and watch one of his favourite action films of all time. We have seen it. Yes, I have anyway. And now you guys have revealed that you have seen it. I love Ip Man. And thank you for that, Eric. Thank you for your support of the series. And if anyone out there wants to let us know...
IP Man.
Well, I haven't seen IP Man, so maybe I need to go watch IP Man.
Go and watch IPMAN. It's really... good.
So ridiculous.
And what I would like as a favour is if you are enjoying this series, feel free to share it around. You know, don't be a stranger. It's isolation. People are bored. They need something to listen to. This might encourage them to see films that they might never have got around to seeing and then listening to us babble on about them. But I would also say if you could also leave us a review on iTunes, that would be incredible at the Fan Critical channel or any of the channels. We don't mind. You can give us what you want. We do prefer, you know, 5 bloobs. So if you can give us 5 bloobs, please do. And that's it.
All right. Well, lovely. I guess I would just like to say thank you to my two little stink spirits over there. Joined me on this.
Well done, Gareth.
And I've been your annoying little frog host. Until the next one, stay safe. We'll see you soon.
See ya. Get away from me, you freak.